Now we come in Psalm 33, we come to an orphanic psalm, an orphan psalm. And we see here the inner experiences of the righteous. And I think that this psalm reveals praise to God. We find the praises of a redeemed people and the praise of His Word and of His work in creation and the praises for those. And we have for the first time the mention of musical instruments that were used. We've had it in the introduction before, but here it's in the psalm itself. And we read now, this is an orphanic psalm, which means we do not know the author. This is the one psalm in this little segment of Psalms David did not write. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is befitting to the upright. Now here's a psalm of praise, to rejoice in the presence of God. When I said that David didn't write it, I should not have put it quite like that. We don't know who wrote it. David could have written this one. Now, will you notice? Praise the Lord with the harp. Sing unto Him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Now, that instrument of 10 strings is a wonderful instrument. These guitars today that are being used in music and being brought in the church, not one of them has 10 strings on it. When anybody learns to play an instrument of 10 strings, I say, let's bring it into church. But until you can play on that many, I don't care who you are. I'm not sure it should be brought in. The harp and the psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto Him a new song. Now, what is that new song? I'd like to spend time with this, but I'm not going to be able to spend time with it. But several of the psalms talk about a new song that is coming up. And I think that when we get to the time of that new song, there's going to be a new singer. I'm going to have a new body. Then I think I'll be able to sing. I want to. I hope the Lord let me sing in heaven. Now, verse 9 of chapter 5. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. Thou wast slain, hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now, this song here is a song and praising God that He's the Creator and that He's given us His Word. But the new song coming up in heaven, we're going to sing because He is our Redeemer. And then again, we find in Revelation 14:3, and they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne, and so on. So that a new song is coming up, and we'll have some new singers then. I'm sure some of us that can't sing today will be in on that. Now we are told here, sing unto Him a new song, play skillfully with a loud voice. And friends, I do believe if you're going to sing, you ought to be good at it before you get up before a group of people. Church music is in sad state today. I get around to many churches, and I think there are a lot of folk ought not to be singing. And the second thing is, I think it ought to be a gift from the Lord. Now, it may not be that you're a trained musician, but you should be dead sure you're doing this for the profit, for the building up of the church. And unless it does that, it shouldn't be an exercise in futility of trying to hit high C when you can't even hit high A or B. Now, let's look at this very wonderful psalm that we have here as we move on in it. Now, we read that here they sing a song, for the word of the Lord is right, and all His works are done in truth. The word of God and the works of God, and His works are creation. Now, will you notice verse 6? And here is a marvelous verse. Do you want to know how God created the heavens and the earth? All right, this verse will tell you how. You may not know any more after I read it than you did before, but you'll at least know how God did it. Listen to this. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. You know, the word of God is powerful. I saw a demonstration of a singer that broke 2 or 3 glasses by hitting a high note. But God used His voice not to destroy, but to create. And he spoke this universe that's in existence today just by his word. He said, let there be light. And you know, there's power in light. Electrical power is there. Electronic power. All kinds of power today. And you know how that all came into existence? God spoke. It's his word. Now, do you know any more than you did before? I don't, but I know God did it. That's the important thing. He tells us here how he did it. And now I must drop down in this psalm. In verse 10, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the nations to naught. He maketh the devices of the people to no effect. I wish that we could put this verse up at the United Nations instead of the one they've got there. They got the wrong one there of beating swords into plowshares, because they're not doing much beating there. They're beating each other, but not swords into plowshares. But this one would be great. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the nations to naught. Witness the past, the League of Nations. You remember that? And then even before the League of Nations, the Hague Conference on Peace, all of it came to naught. You want to know something? Now, I know I'll get letters of criticism on this, but the United Nations is coming to naught, friends, because they've left God out altogether. Now, here is a great verse, and I'd love to put this up in Washington. I'd like for the president to see it. Oh, the Congress ought to see this one. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That ought to be put up there somewhere, because it's nowhere around right now. Now, will you notice, verse 13, the Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of man. He sees you. Verse 16, there is no king save by the multitude of a host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. Napoleon said that God is on the side of the greatest battalion. But he demonstrated he was wrong, because at the Battle of Waterloo, he had the battalions, but he lost. God is not on the side of the one that has the biggest bomb by any means. Now, will you notice here, the psalm goes on, verse 18, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon those who fear him, upon those who hope in his mercy. How wonderful this is. And verse 21, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. May I make a suggestion? Why don't you saturate yourself with the psalm? Now, I'm going to say something that's not nice, but I'm going to say it. Instead of running around today, friends, attending all of these conferences, to tell you about new methods of running the Sunday school and running the church and of doing this and that, why don't you stay home and read the Psalms? Get saturated with this portion of the Word of God, and it'll bring comfort to your heart, and it'll solve 99.4% of the problems that you and I are having today, and the church is having today. This is a rich area of the Word of God. Oh, how we need today to saturate ourselves with this particular section of the Word of God, that it might become meaningful to us, might enter into our lives, might be translated into shoe leather today. And these psalms get right down where the rubber meets the road.